You're listening to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Football Astronauts. I'm your host today, Guy Fieri. You can catch me on Twitter at FF underscore Flavortown. I'm going solo today. We're trying to find our new groove in season. This is week one, or week two now. So welcome to the first in-season episode. Jetpack and I are working our schedules out. So today it is just me. I'm going to work you through the week one breakdown plus some week two tips and just kind of where we stand with the NFL landscape as a whole. Before we get started, check out our other podcast that we just added. It is a weekly waiver wire podcast with my friends Shane and Fox, and that is on our podcast channel. So go ahead, listen to that. It's Fantasy Nightcap, and that will be coming out weekly. It's the absolute first waiver wire podcast. So make sure that you are getting that info because you're not going to want to miss it. It is going to give you the edge before anyone else. And we have the first podcast out there. Literally, they record it like the night of the Monday Night Football game and then send it to me, and it's out Tuesday morning early. So get that info. Make sure that you're dominating your leagues there. The other thing that we've added is we have partnered with SportsMed Analytics, and they are going to be doing a sports injury and NFL injury segment at the end of the show. So make sure you stay tuned for that. They're going to break down all the injuries and give you the info you need to know. So I'm actually going to skip most of the injuries. We'll let them get into that a little bit more. Let them focus, and I'll help you out with your week two thoughts on your leagues and a little bit of DFS. I have some DFS thoughts for you today. So, you know, just kind of want to get this off my chest is Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the man, right? His ceiling is Kareem Hunt, which is the best running back in the league. You know, he looked phenomenal, and you're just going to see him get more and more involved in the pass game. You did not see him have much action there. I think he had one or two targets, and that was it. So that's typically harder for a rookie running back to pick up. And if you want him to be your bell cow, you have to start with what's easy. You have to start with what's going to get him involved the quickest rather than swamping him with everything. So I expect as the season goes, he's going to get more involved in the passing game. No problems there at all. Clyde is a must start every week. And we're going to leave it at that because nothing more needs to be said. You watched the game. You saw the box score. It's phenomenal. So if you spent your 101 on him in rookie drafts, well worth it. If he was a top 10 pick for you in redraft leagues, I would say it's still probably worth it. You know, he's going to be a phenomenal running back this year. Now, the next rookie running back we need to talk about is Jonathan Taylor. Right? He didn't look incredible week one. His counting stats were not awesome. He was in a timeshare with Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack. Now, Marlon Mack is done for the season with an Achilles rupture. He's gone. There's nothing left for him in his offense, and he is a free agent at the end of the year. That means it is all systems go for Jonathan Taylor. Now, if you are a listener or you are, if you're on Dynasty Twitter at all, you're going to know this already. This is not a surprise. Now, what will be a shock is I don't think it's going to, again, just like Clyde, I don't think it's going to translate into the passing game right away. They have Nyheim Hines, and they have Phillip Rivers throwing the ball to Nyheim Hines. Nyheim Hines is going to be valuable. His rushing volume is going to be a little less predictable, I think. Jonathan Taylor is a significantly better running back than he is on the ground. But Nyheim Hines has incredible value in the pass game. Incredible value. So if you're looking at your Tariq Cohen, Austin Eckler, Rex Burkhead, Danny Woodhead, not Rex Burkhead, type players, That's Nyheim Hines. Now, long-term, I think we need to be talking about Jonathan Taylor in the top five, top six running backs. Like, for me, I've just kind of been debating back and forth this week. Who would I rather have going forward, Joe Mixon or Jonathan Taylor? Do I want the running back tethered to Joe Burrow and a struggling offensive line, or do I want one tethered to this incredible offensive line? And what it really is I'm kind of buying Quentin Nelson. You know, I want to have the running back that's tethered to Quentin Nelson because that is the one that is going to make waves. Quentin Nelson is a beyond elite, And whatever running back is running behind him, I want. So Jonathan Taylor is really sneaky in my conversation for that top five running back. And it's before he's even had any counting stats that are noteworthy. You know, he hasn't gone out and proven anything yet, but we all know the profile. We all know how good he can be. And running behind Quentin Nelson just is a dream scenario, absolute dream scenario. So I think that's kind of what you need to be thinking about. Like what can you give up? Because right now is going to be your best time to buy Jonathan Taylor right now before he breaks out. Maybe you have one more week at a decreased value, but if he touches 10 plus carries or 15 carries, it's game over. If he scores a touchdown, yeah, not a chance you get him now. So it's really, what can you offer to get him? What kind of value range do people see him in? Because I'm close to putting him in that top tier range. Like right now, Joe Mixon's perceived value is higher, but I would consider doing a Joe Mixon for Jonathan Taylor plus and just getting rid of Joe Mixon and getting Jonathan Taylor before he breaks out. That's kind of what I'm thinking of. Maybe Austin Eckler straight up for Jonathan Taylor. I've seen that. If I was the Jonathan Taylor owner, I wouldn't accept it, but you may be playing in some leagues with guys who would want the proven production in Austin Eckler, the 19 touches, the 20 touches that Austin Eckler is guaranteed right now before they see what Jonathan Taylor can do. If you are in a redraft league, go get Jonathan Taylor immediately. Right now, do it before, like whatever it takes, go get Jonathan Taylor. He's going to be a league winner. He's going to be a league winner. It's not even going to be close because you got him in the mid rounds. And he's probably your running back three or four. Go get him, trade for him. He's not going to be available on the waivers anywhere. Go get Jonathan Taylor at all costs. It is Jonathan Taylor at all costs right now. Nyheim Hines was a great waiver ad if you can get him. He's going to be a good DFS play, I think. I'm not sure what his salary is, but he should see a lot of the passing volume, and you're probably going to get some good production. So if you're looking for a cheaper running back to buy, his volume is not going to be super high, but his efficiency is going to be incredible this season with how Phillip Rivers is going to use him. So he's a great DFS play just week to week, as far as I'm concerned. Let's talk about some timeshares. So we have several teams that are using timeshares that we were kind of hoping one guy would break out or another guy would break out. And as I was looking at some snap counts this week and looking at some touch totals this week, it's actually very encouraging for Aaron Jones owners. He had 16 carries. We were a little bit concerned. Was AJ Dillon going to hop in? Was Jamal Williams going to hop in and take some carries? And while Jamal Williams did have 7 carries, anytime you're getting a running back that's getting 16 carries, that's what you want. He averaged 4.1 yards per carry, which is, it's fine. But he also had 4 receptions. And now that yardage total, the 10 yards on 4 receptions, is not great. But the fact that he's getting passing volume is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. AJ Dillon looked good. 2 rushes, 14 yards. And Jamal Williams is just a non-factor in the rush game. So I really expect Jamal Williams to be taken over by AJ Dillon. I don't think AJ Dillon's going to be restrained here, but I do feel encouraged about Aaron Jones' usage. 16 carries and 4 target or 4 receptions is absolutely what you want to see. Ended up with a touchdown. Now, touchdown variance is something that we need to monitor. It's not like he's going to go out and score a touchdown every week, but his receiving efficiency should go up. His rushing efficiency should go up some as Aaron Rodgers just continues to torch defenses. They're going to put less and less guys in the box. He's going to face less and less stacked boxes. Now, I would expect AJ Dillon to probably steal some goal line carries. That being said, Aaron Jones is a great goal line back, so he's going to have touchdown upside each week. I was fading Aaron Jones at the beginning of the season, and I'm pretty ready to reverse that. I was not expecting him to get that many carries. I was expecting it to be a significantly larger timeshare. So at least with Aaron Jones, it's encouraging. There are some other teams that you wanted a guy, but it does not look like there's going to be the guy, you know. So the Bills, the Browns, even the Lions, and not to say that the Saints are a true timeshare where it's going to hurt Alvin Kamara, but Latavius Murray got a significant number of snaps. The Rams, definitely a timeshare, and that one's going to be a little bit confusing. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. And then Chargers have somewhat of a timeshare going on, and other than that, we're feeling pretty good about the show. Washington definitely as well has some sharing of the rock going on. So let's break down the main ones, because you're not really looking for, if you drafted Antonio Gibson on the Washington football team, you're not looking for RB1 weeks, right? You're hoping for that upside, but you're not looking for that just yet. So it doesn't really matter to your team necessarily if Antonio Gibson is having some goal line touches stolen from him by Peyton Barber. The Bills, on the other hand, you wanted Devin Singletary. We wanted Devin Singletary to be the guy. They drafted Zach Moss, and then everyone was really hype on Zach Moss. I've heard really great things out of camp about Zach Moss. He had a receiving touchdown, but the volume just was not there for really either of them. Devin Singletary with 9 carries, Zach Moss with 9 carries, both of them with abysmal yards per carry, both under 3.5. Zach Moss actually had 1.2 yards per carry, looked did not look good toting the rock, but he did have 3 receptions for 16 yards. Devin Singletary did have 5 receptions for 23 yards. So you're getting some value there. They're risky flex plays. If I'm going to pick one, I'm probably going to take Zach Moss because he seems a little bit more likely to get the goal line carries, but it's really just such a risky play with both of those. If I can, I'm leaving them both on the bench. I don't want either of them just yet. It's difficult because we so badly wanted one or the other to break out, and it just doesn't look like it's happening just yet. So I'm staying away from them. The other thing is the Browns. We didn't really expect the Browns to have quite this timeshare, where actually Kareem Hunt outtouched Nick Chubb, 13 carries to 10 carries. And Kareem Hunt, 4 receptions, Nick Chubb, 1 reception. So if you got Kareem Hunt in the late rounds, that's your guy. Right now, though, I think the move is probably to go trade for Nick Chubb. He was still incredibly, incredibly efficient. He is still such a good running back. They were just playing an elite Ravens team and had to throw the ball. Baker Mayfield threw the ball 39 times. Granted, he stunk. He absolutely stunk. And did not get much going in through the air, but he threw the ball 39 times. So they had to pass the ball quite a bit. While I'm not encouraged by the Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, usage, this is a great time to buy Nick Chubb, right? Nick Chubb owners are going to be freaking out. You can get him very cheap. Dynasty wise, this is probably the cheapest you're going to be able to get him. So go out and make the move for Nick Chubb. Now he's in a timeshare, but I expect those rushing totals to go up. Kareem Hunt is the better pass catcher, so they had him in there a little bit more. And so I expect Nick Chubb to bounce back here. Maybe not this week. They are playing a pretty porous Bengals defense. But, you know, Nick Chubb is a talent that can't be denied. And if there's one thing that I've learned, especially recently, it's that always buy talent over situation, right? Talent will come through. The situation may suck for a little bit, but if you can eat that, talent will shine through. Nick Chubb will be fantasy relevant. It may not be that RB1 that everyone was hoping for, but remember, he was so dominant last year. And you have Kevin Stefanski, who does like to run the ball. He showed that in Minnesota. And so there will be volume there. And I think Nick Chubb is going to end up being just fine, but you kind of have to take the risk on him now. Let the talent shine through. The profile is there. The film grade is there. The stats are there. I mean, goodness, he had 6 yards per carry, right? On 10 carries. That's no joke. He was playing really well. They just could not commit to the ground game. And so if they get into situations that are a little bit more favorable to run the ball, that's where Nick Chubb starts to shine. And that's where, you know, you see Kareem Hunt take a little bit more of a backseat, because when Nick Chubb gets rolling, it's hard to take him off the field. So moral of the story there with the Browns is I don't really want much to do with that offense except buying Nick Chubb because he is going to be so incredibly undervalued right now. It's almost a mistake not to. There's literally no lower, except for injury, there's no lower that his stock can get. This is the absolute bottom that you will ever be able to buy the elite talent that is Nick Chubb. And so you are doing yourself a disservice if you don't at least inquire, if you don't at least offer. It's going to be depending on your roster and everything as far as what you want to give up for him. But if you at least have to inquire about him, you at least have to see what would it take for me to actually get Nick Chubb on my roster. And is that something that I feel comfortable with the risk? Because I think generally you're going to say, yes, I'm comfortable with the risk because that price is never going to be lower for a guy that just is an absolutely phenomenal ball player. You just need him to get a little bit more volume. And I think that talent will shine through. The Ravens had a timeshare as well. And same game, right? Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, and even throw Gus Edwards in there with four carries. You know, that no one had more than 10 carries. Although J.K. Dobbins did look really good on the goal line. So if you listen to Jetpack, and you're smart, you know that the end is near for Mark Ingram. J.K. Dobbins is the future. J.K. Dobbins is going to be the truth there. Now, is he worth starting week to week? No, absolutely not. He's still too risky. You know, he didn't get more than seven touches. So you're not going out and starting him. But by the end of the season, you're going to see him toting the rock more than Mark Ingram. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a flip in the coming weeks with the 10-7. Carry maybe 15 carries for J.K. Dobbins would probably be his ceiling as a rookie. I don't see him getting a ton, especially with Lamar there, but it is the perfect situation for J.K. Dobbins to get the ball. The teams are so worried about Lamar Jackson on the goal line that they're not accounting for J.K. Dobbins hardly at all. And the Browns defense was just a nightmare this week to the point where Robert Griffin even got in and had a completion. So you're not looking at a team that was dominant, and you're not looking at a true portrayal of who the Ravens are going to face on a week-to-week basis. But what you saw from J.K. Dobbins was encouraging. You just need the volume to increase. And so he's probably not a buy at this point. He's probably someone that teams see the flash and they're already excited about him. So he's probably a little bit too expensive at this point to buy. But if you have him, he's definitely not a start at this point. He's getting there, right? He might have the volume by the end of the year, but you really have to chase volume in this offense. And the variance that is touchdowns is too difficult to chase. It can't be trusted. Now, if he's a cheap running back option in DFS, sure, I wouldn't mind him the touchdown. If he scores a touchdown again, he's already paid for himself. So he's definitely worth a shot in a DFS lineup potentially. If you want more info on that, go check out FTN Daily. They'll give you a little bit more scoop there. But I don't see him as a bad DFS option on a week-to-week basis as long as the cost to put him in your roster is low. The Lions timeshare was a little bit frustrating. You had Adrian Peterson tote the rock 14 carries for 93 yards, 6.6 yards per carry, and that's kind of what we thought. Now Kerryon Johnson got in there for seven carries, DeAndre Swift got in there for three carries, and DeAndre Swift stole the touchdown. That's I think the big takeaway is that DeAndre Swift was who they wanted to score that touchdown. He's also who they targeted in the red zone. So it complicates things. It doesn't give you faith that Adrian Peterson is going to be the guy, right? The writing's on the wall that DeAndre Swift is going to take over here. It's just going to be a matter of time. You don't waste Adrian Peterson right now. Just run him. He played really well. The Bears defense looked horrific against the run this week. So Adrian Peterson, a good flex week-to-week play, but DeAndre Swift, you can tell the writing's on the wall. He's the future. Kerryon Johnson, while he did get more carries, was not trusted in the passing game and was not trusted on the goal line. So that's that's the direction of this team. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time because nobody's super exciting for fantasy right now, but just keep that in mind. The writing is on the wall. Kerryon Johnson and Adrian Peterson are put on notice. DeAndre Swift is going to, by the end of the season, take over most of the carries, if not all the carries. Adrian Peterson's always going to be a factor because he is AP, and he does still have it. But DeAndre Swift is moving up in the world. Again, still acquire him. He's going to be expensive, but the team is now showing that this is the guy that we want to have the ball in the end zone. Two opportunities. He blew the one at the end of the game. Two opportunities to score. This is a guy that you're going to have immense upside in the future. Probably more of a 2021 grab, but just absolutely phenomenal there. Those are really the big ones. You know, the Chargers, will Josh Kelly is definitely an upgraded runner from Melvin Gordon. But he's not as nearly as much of a factor in the passing game. I am concerned about Austin Eckler's passing usage, which is surprising because I thought they would line him up in the slot more. I thought that he would be a guy that they would want to force feed the ball because he is such a playmaker, but only one reception for 3 yards, 19 carries though, which is incredible. You want that kind of volume from your running back. I expect his efficiency to improve some. I expect the touchdowns to go up. So I'm not freaking out if I'm an Austin Eckler owner, but I am slightly concerned because Josh Kelly was in there and scored the touchdown, and he did receive 12 carries. You really wanted Austin Eckler's receiving upside, and that just wasn't there this week. And so we'll see kind of how that goes. We'll see what Austin Eckler's value is in the passing game. He's definitely not the top five guy if he doesn't get that passing volume. He's definitely not the top five guy that we thought he would be. But with 19 carries a game, you can't be upset that he is getting that many touches. You are still slotting him in to start every single week, and maybe even starting Josh Kelly. If Josh Kelly's going to get 12 yards or 12 rushing attempts and some goal line carries, that is worth a flex option, definitely, and especially in deeper leagues. So Josh Kelly, if you're going to play against teams like this, then go ahead, slot him in your flex spot. If you have two flex spots to fill, Josh Kelly is a viable option there. I was expecting him to be the number two running back. He was my number six rookie running back overall, and he's definitely an upgraded runner from Melvin Gordon. That's someone that you want on your roster, in your lineup. And I feel comfortable. He's probably, outside of Clyde and Jonathan Taylor, he's probably the first rookie running back, outside of those two, that I feel comfortable starting on a week-to-week basis, which is surprising. There were so many names that were floated, but Josh Kelly landed with good talent in the perfect situation. And so, so I do feel comfortable starting him in a flex spot on a week-to-week basis. You may or may not get the touchdowns, but you're at least going to get 10-plus rushes, and that is enough volume with touchdown upside for me to feel comfortable slotting him in. All right, guys, so I want to interrupt our show today to share with you our sponsor, and we've had this partnership brewing for a while now. It is full blown, and now that you are in season, you need these tools. We are talking about FadeTheNoise.com. FadeTheNoise is your new one-stop shop for all things fantasy sports. They provide in-depth entertainment and analysis from industry-leading experts such as Brad Evans and Jeff Ratcliffe, while developing unique user-friendly tools to help optimize your success on all fantasy platforms. They have videos, articles, podcasts, live streams. They even have a live chat where you can talk to fantasy experts and DFS experts to optimize your lineups and make sure that you are dominating on game day. Head on over to ftnfantasy.com. Make sure you are signed up. Get all access to all of their tools. Get access to all of their help. You are going to want that this season to make sure you make some money and dominate your fantasy leagues. All right, now back to the show. All right, let's finish our running back roundup. You have Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds both have value. That's as far as I'm going to put it. Kenyon Drake did not have the same showing as Chase Edmonds did, but they're both getting the volume. Chase Edmonds with some passing volume, and you can tell that this is a team that is going to run an insane number of plays. Like, everybody on this offense can be viable. DeAndre Hopkins had, what, 14 catches, which is unbelievable. Anyone that was concerned about his volume, you know, you can go bury that opinion wherever you want to bury it. It's no longer valid. DeAndre Hopkins is elite, and Kyler Murray knows it. Kyler Murray's rushing attempts, Kyler Murray's pass, like the number of offensive plays that they ran was absolutely absurd. And that's a clip I expect them to sustain. You know, that's a clip that I think you really can expect to stay up there. So all of a sudden, Chase Edmonds and Kenyon Drake, both with value, both with value there. And DeAndre Hopkins is just an elite fantasy wide receiver still. The touchdowns will come. His volume was incredible. And so that's really what you're looking for. And the touchdowns will come. Just keep remembering that touchdown variance is so wild. Touchdown variance is so wild. And I think the best example I have here is John Brown, who should have had three touchdowns in this past game. John Brown should have had three touchdowns, but Josh Allen overthrew him, you know? And same thing, Mitch Trubisky should have thrown three touchdowns, but, you know, just a little bit too far in front. One defensive pass interference call that was missed, and, you know, a missed time to jump by a wide receiver. All of a sudden, there's three touchdowns that should have been there that were not. And so, I mean, it's a matter of inches. And so touchdown variance is something that is so important to keep in mind. So if your guy's not scoring a touchdown on a given week, don't freak out. Obviously, you want that, but that's not the end of the world. It is something that will come. DeAndre Hopkins will score a boatload of touchdowns this year. I am not concerned about that at all. Because Kyler Murray is just going to continue to feed him the ball. He's an elite fantasy option. But the big takeaway here is both Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds have value. We'll have to wait and see, because we knew that Chase Edmonds was good. We knew that Kenyon Drake was good. We did not know how Cliff Kingsbury was going to utilize them both this year. And I think while it's not going to be a true timeshare by any means, you're definitely going to have Kenyon Drake as the starter and as the bell cow there. That's not anyone's concern. You're still getting six rushes from Chase Edmonds, and you're still getting three receptions. And so all of a sudden you're at nine touches, maybe more if they get up. They were playing a great 49ers defense, and so you don't expect them to have that difficult of a time moving forward. And I mean, they still put up a ton of points for that defense, but I could definitely see Chase Edmonds' rushing volume go up. Same thing with Kenyon Drake. They ran so many offensive plays. It's unbelievable. So, that being said, probably wait another week, but get Chase Edmonds if you can, right? He's a backup that could have value on his own. He's a guy that with that touchdown variance, you can take a gamble on in a DFS slate. You can take a gamble on in your DFS lineup for a GPP lineup and say, hey, you know what? This is a guy that has shown he could score two to three touchdowns in a week. He's going to have some volume, so he's going to give you some return. He's not just going to be a blank, but he's a threat in the pass game. He's a threat in the run game. And they do like to use him on the goal line. He's a good goal line back despite his stature. So Chase Edmonds definitely has value there, as does Kenyon Drake. No real problem there. Joe Mixon is who we have up next. People are freaking out a little, myself included. And I was a little bit nervous, but again, and I keep going back to this and I feel like a broken record here. You have to trust the volume. This is the first time that Joe Mixon has not been crippled by Giovanni Bernard. He had 19 carries. That's phenomenal. That's exactly the number that you want. You want the 15 plus range, and he is smashing through that. He did have one reception, and so you're finally seeing him get the usage he deserves, and I expect his efficiency to improve. You have to remember that Joe Burrow was playing in his first ever game, right? Joe Burrow only threw for 193 yards, and he's only going to get better. Joe Burrow is no slump, and he's only going to get better. And so Joe Mixon is going to have less and less pressure on him. The field's going to be opened up more and more So Joe Mixon, while we're freaking out a little bit because the efficiency wasn't there, he didn't score as many points as we wanted, it will come. Follow the volume, follow the talent. Joe Mixon has both. Follow the volume, follow the talent, and it's very hard to go wrong. We know that Joe Mixon has both of those. The other interesting thing from that game is the fact that Joe Burrow targeted literally every single person on that roster through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different players had a reception, and no one had more than 5. So it's tough to trust those wide receivers until Joe Burrow shows that he can get in a groove, until Joe Burrow shows that he is ready to handle the NFL speed. It's going to be tough to trust the wide receivers. Now, tonight will be the Browns versus the Bengals. That should be a good test. That should be a little bit easier for him to have success and start to get into a groove. But even still, I'm not trusting any of the Bengals wide receivers in my lineup, unless it's a super deep league. I'm not trusting any Bengals wide receiver in my lineup until I see that Joe Burrow has fully acclimated, that passing offense has fully leveled up. And until then, they're just going to sit on my bench. I have a lot of Tyler Boyd. I have a lot of AJ Green. I'm comfortable sitting them on my bench for now, because I'm uncomfortable playing them. They just do not have the volume, and Joe Burrow has to be the one to get there, and he's just going to take a little bit of time. He's struggled a little bit. He looked okay, but not for fantasy, right? You want to see a little bit more volume, a little bit more passing volume from Joe Burrow in order to trust these wide receivers. So that's kind of where I'm leaning, is just don't trust the Bengals wide receiver until Joe Burrow proves it. All right, I have a couple more things here. The Patriots, we'll hit all of the Patriots points because they have zero wide receivers. The only person on that team that I want to play is Cam Newton. I mean, that offense is going to be borderline anemic, except for Cam Newton. He is going to be a fantasy force. He's going to be a must start. But I really think, and I thought this early on, I really think that Damian Harris is going to come in and take Sony Michel's job once he's off IR. He's got two more weeks on IR, I think. And he's going to come in and take Sony Michel's job because Sony Michel has just been so unimpressive. He's been so incredibly unimpressive. So if you can go stash Damian Williams on your IR, do it right now. Because I think you are seeing that Sony Michel has been given ample opportunity and he has not been able to show himself worthy of getting those touches. And from all the reports coming out of camp, Damian Williams or Damian Harris was the guy. I'm sorry if I was saying Damian Williams earlier. Damian Harris is the guy. Damian Harris was just balling out this camp, and that's what you want from your running back. Now, I would not trust him, but I think he's going to be the play. If you are going to play anyone, he's going to end up being the play once he comes back off IR. No Patriots wide receivers. N'Keal Harry looked soft, soft, soft. Oh, my goodness. Go check out Jetpack Galileo's tweet, the video where he – oh my gosh. And it's just so embarrassing because the Dolphins DB or linebacker, whoever it was, wasn't even moving that hard and they just annihilated him. He didn't lower his shoulder. He was running pad level high. I mean, he didn't do anything. He just got annihilated and you can tell the confidence is low. He made one play that kind of bailed Cam out, but the confidence for N'Keal Harry has to be incredibly low right now. He shows some potential, but just Cam Newton is the only person on that offense that you can trust in any capacity. And the only other one that I would consider adding, otherwise I don't really want any Patriots player on my team other than Cam Newton, is Damian Harris on IR, because I think he will come back. And Belichick's going to say, you know what, Sony Michel, you ain't it. You've had your chance. You've had your chance for a couple of years now. You keep getting injured. You keep being inefficient. You're not it. You're not our guy. Let's at least give Damian Harris a shot. Let's at least give him a chance because he's a guy that, no, he's not special, but he can do everything that Sony Michel can. And he's shown that he's a pretty good pass catcher. So why not give a downhill runner, a one-cut downhill runner power back a chance? And all of a sudden, now you have a second viable goal line running back outside of Cam Newton, who is one of the best goal line running backs in the NFL. So it's just so hard to trust that Patriots offense. And I don't want any piece of it that is not named Cam Newton. All right, so we are going to finish up my segment here with just a couple more guys, a couple more thoughts here. Now, Chris Godwin is in the concussion protocol right now. That means Scotty Miller time, baby. Scotty Miller time. He is going to be a start, I think, right? Tom Brady trusted him a ton. Scotty Miller balled out. And if Chris Godwin is not in the lineup this Sunday, I think Scotty Miller is a fantastic start. He was a waiver wire grab. Like, there's nobody that was even thinking about this guy. I'm partial to him because he grew up, played football in my conference, my high school conference. So a local guy for me, but he's a guy that he's really just a solid start this week. I think Tom Brady, really likes him, and I'm not going to compare him to Julian Edelman. I'm not going to make that comparison. You're just not going to get it out of me. But Tom Brady does really like throwing the ball to Scotty Miller, and Scotty Miller has shown some really good flashes. So again, Chris Godwin being out is going to open up some volume, and I think Scotty Miller is the main beneficiary. I don't know if he's going to score a touchdown, but would you be surprised if Scotty Miller had 9 receptions for 100-plus yards? I wouldn't. And, I mean, he already came close. He had 5 receptions, 75 yards, I believe, and that was phenomenal for a guy that most casual fantasy players had never heard of Scotty Miller. Most casual fantasy players had no clue that Scotty Miller even existed. And so if you're playing in a league with these guys, go trade for him. Go start him if you have him. Grab him off the waivers if he's still available. He is, especially with Chris Godwin in concussion protocol, 1 week, maybe two. I mean, you get a concussion, those things linger. Scotty Miller is a great option for this week. And I will not have a single DFS lineup without Scotty Miller. You're just not going to see any lineups without Scotty Miller. I don't care. Everyone's going to be playing him. But when you get a value like that, it allows you so much more freedom to have other guys in your lineup. And so Scotty, just, I mean, cannot say enough about the guy. It is Miller time right now in Tampa Bay. And that's all I really have to say about Tampa Bay. Tom Brady looked good throwing the deep ball. And Scotty Miller's the beneficiary there. Mike Evans is the beneficiary there. So pretty confident playing those guys in your weekly lineups. How about Jared Cook season? Right? Michael Thomas, the high ankle sprain is a tough one to get over. And Jared Cook led the team in receptions. And yards and receiving yards. So you're going to get Jared Cook having a ton of value. He's got to be a top 5 tight end weekly with Michael Thomas out. He's got to be a top 5 tight end weekly with Michael Thomas out. And I know Alvin Kamara is going to benefit. I know Emmanuel Sanders is going to benefit. But Jared Cook already showed that he was a main target for Drew Brees. And he's going to maybe be the main target. So everyone wants to go start Emmanuel Sanders. Everyone wants to go start Tre'Quan Smith, you know, but Jared Cook is a top 5 fantasy option, maybe a top 3 fantasy option if George Kittle is injured here and misses any time. He's definitely a top 5 option weekly, especially with Drew Brees throwing him the ball. You saw Drew Brees has used tight ends well in the past. Jared Cook has had some splashes, but now with Michael Thomas, the volume hog gone, I mean, there's no chance Michael Thomas plays at least this week. Probably 2 weeks would be my guess if he's really good with his recovery. But even then, you're not going to see him back at 100%. It'll likely be several weeks before you see him at 100%. Jared Cook is going to benefit huge, huge, huge from this. He's a guy that has to start, especially tight end premium leagues. Oh, my goodness. He is going to be not a league winner necessarily, but he is going to get your team to the playoffs. He's going to get you some early wins to help propel your team to the playoffs. Cam Akers looked bad. I'm just going to put that out there. He did not look good. He looked scared. And so I don't expect that to continue, but he did not look good. It looked like he got out there and was just my 95-year-old grandmother driving behind the wheel, just terrified of what was coming at him. Covered up the ball, leaned into players, was bumped down. I mean, just went down with the slightest breeze touching him. And so I don't expect that to continue. Cam Akers is very talented. He's very raw, but you could tell that that was fear running the ball. That wasn't Cam Akers. That was absolute sheer terrified, starstruck Cam Akers. But Malcolm Brown did look good, and that's encouraging because Malcolm Brown has never been the guy. Cam Akers has just boatloads more talent, and so that gives me hope for Cam Akers. He's going to shake it off. He's going to improve. And he's going to get out of that mental headspace, but he just looked so scared running the ball. So Cam Akers staying on my bench. Malcolm Brown is definitely a flex worthy play for right now. But you're again looking at a committee backfield until Cam Akers kind of steps out of that being scared that he's in the NFL, being scared that that he's going to get hit by an NFL linebacker. You're not going to get that type of production from him. Speaking of poor production, what in the world, Saquon Barkley? He looks great in the passing game, but come on, 0.4 yards per carry. Goodness gracious, that Giants offensive line is abysmal. So I don't think that will continue. I mean, you drafted Saquon Barkley as your first or second overall pick. The Giants offensive line can't be that bad, can it? I mean, I don't think it can be. I'm so baffled that this, I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. And that goes back to the Jonathan Taylor. That goes back to the Jonathan Taylor argument. You're getting Jonathan Taylor running behind Quentin Nelson. And that's what props him up so high. He's a great talent, but he's running behind Quentin Nelson. If you have Saquon, I don't care if you have Saquon Barkley. If you are running behind a hay bale, right, and there's no one blocking, there's nothing there. If you're driving behind just a picket fence, right, these defensive linemen are going to annihilate Saquon, who's covered up in the backfield consistently. He looked so explosive, so talented when he got into open space, but that was just few and far between. So Saquon was, it hurt my heart to watch that. It hurt me to see his stats at the end of the game because that's not what he deserves. He deserves much better O-line play, but that goes back to Jonathan Taylor. That goes back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? You're also getting the offensive line. You're getting the offensive line play, and you want running backs that have good offensive lines. And that actually brings me to the last player that I want to talk about. Save the best for last. David Montgomery looked good. The Bears offensive line looked significantly improved. Jermaine Ifedi moving to right guard just significantly improved. Oh my gosh, significantly improved that offensive line. David Montgomery looked very solid. He showed a little bit of burst. He showed a little bit of wiggle. He showed some power. Granted, he didn't get the touches because they got behind early. They were forced to pass the ball, but he looked solid. And so while that wasn't a good representation of the type of fantasy points and fantasy production that I think you're going to get from him, it was encouraging that this groin strain didn't seem to slow him down at all. He improved his efficiency. And I think you're just going to see more and more volume from him. I think they limited his touches some just because he didn't have the full week of practice. So I think you're going to see David Montgomery take a next step because that Bears offensive line was significantly improved. And I mean, he improved his yards per carry about a yard, I think. So his efficiency is up like crazy. So absolutely thrilled with that, just as a Bears fan and as a David Montgomery truther, to see that the injury didn't slow him down and that he actually improved from last season already. Very encouraged, very excited about the season for David Montgomery. Bears have a lot of things they need to shore up, but it does not look like the running back position is something that they are lacking in right now. All right, guys, That's it for me. I'm going to send it on over to the Sports Med Analytics. I'm Guy Fieri. We are the Fantasy Football Astronauts, and we are blasting off again.
Welcome to your Week 1 NFL Injury Report. I'm Dr. Deepak Chona with Sports Med Analytics. Let's dive in. Michael Thomas sustained a high ankle sprain at the end of the Tampa Bay game. Bad news because NFL data shows that these affect players for about 3 weeks on average. We are not expecting to see him before Week 4 or 5 at the earliest, and we'd be downgrading expectations until about Week 6 or 7. Do expect a full recovery within the year, though. George Kittle, one of our favorite players, sprained his knee when he was tackled and it got forced into hyperextension. He returned to the field and wasn't even targeted after the injury, but we're still optimistic about it. They probably would not have let him come back if anything major like the PCL was structurally damaged, so expect him to rest through some practice time, but suit up at nearly full strength for next week. Our overall concern level will decrease pretty significantly over the course of the next few games, so we definitely target him in trades if his owners are worried. There were a slew of hamstring injuries, possibly made worse by the abbreviated training camp situation. Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Parker were two big names to get hurt and not return in Week 1. Bell is officially out for 3 weeks on the IR, but can be reasonably expected to return to form by about Week 6. Parker has not been ruled out for Week 2, but we'd definitely downgrade his expectations. If he doesn't have to miss any time, expect a solid return to his baseline by about Week 4. Miles Sanders, Kenny Golladay, Mike Evans, and Golden Tate were also dealing with hamstring injuries going into Week 1. NFL data tells us that these vary in severity, but the pooled average is about 10 days missed with a 20% chance of re-injury during the season. That's definitely fairly significant, but there may be some value here. Evans played, though he didn't produce more than one reception for 2 yards and a touchdown. Still, it's a good sign for his outlook going into next week. Most likely outcome for him is continued improvement and probably return to form by Week 3. He does have that increased short-term re-injury risk, but he's one of our top trade targets for the week given the massive ceiling potential he could be achieving very soon with Tom Brady at quarterback. Miles Sanders missed his chance to start as the Eagles' top running back, but reports are that he's going to be advancing his activity in practice this week. Same is reportedly true of Giants wide receiver Golden Tate. Both situations need to be monitored this week for progress in practice, but we're expecting them to be able to play in Week 2. Most likely, they'll be producing at their normal levels by Week 3 or 4. Unfortunately, we're less optimistic on Kenny Golladay. Sounds like the Lions started planning to play without him very shortly after he strained his hamstring in the middle of last week. That suggests to us that he's going to be questionable for Week 2 as well, and we'll have to play it by ear to see what happens from here. Cowboys Nation was hit really hard with injury this week as well. Star linebacker Leighton Vander Esch broke his clavicle. NFL studies report an average of 8 weeks to return, but he'll likely be eligible for clearance after about six. Blake Jarwin was poised for a big season, but his ACL tear is going to put that on hold until next year as well. As many of you know, the injuries did not stop on Sunday. On Monday night, Broncos running back Philip Lindsay left the game with a turf toe. It's reportedly mild, but even if he does come back, this is an injury with potential to linger. We're not going to be counting on him as a reliable player for at least the next month. James Conner, on the other hand, gives us a more optimistic outlook. He did sprain his ankle, but ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports that it was not of the high ankle sprain variety. Therefore, we expect him to try to play in Week 2 and likely return to full strength by Week 3 or 4. Maybe a good trade target for some opportunistic owners. And that's all we've got for today. If you enjoy what you see, please like, share, and subscribe. If you need to know about another player, comment and we'll add them to our next edition. Until then, go dominate your league.